you want to take out your message notes, this is part four in our conclusion of the series, Just Saying. And turn around to somebody with a little bit of attitude and just say, I'm just saying. Come on, y'all didn't do that with any attitude. Say it with some attitude. You know, you got to move your head a little bit. I'm just saying. If you got to, put your finger up in their face and say, I'm just saying. All right. We've been looking at and studying the power of our words, and I encourage you, if you've missed any of the parts of this series, please go back and listen to it on our podcast or on our website. You can get all of that. You can subscribe to our podcast. By the way, let me say this, and just for point of information, you can go back. We can go back and look at statistics of our podcast. Did you know there are people in Russia listening to our podcast from here, Little Old Spring Hill Church? And there's people in Germany listening to our podcast. Of course, people in the United States. We got people in South America that are listening to the podcast. So I don't know how they're understanding it because I ain't speaking a lick of Spanish. But, you know, they're getting it somehow. But anyway, I'm just excited that God is opening up that door. One day, probably in the near future, I can't say exactly when, we're going to start doing some live streaming. Where if you, for whatever reason, you can't be here, you can watch us live online. So we'll be getting around to that sooner or later, hopefully sooner. So, just be praying and thanking God for new opportunities and doors for us. Amen. Let's read our foundation scripture found in James chapter 3. James chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 2. And you can follow along on your message notes. And I encourage you, fill in the blanks there. If you miss anything, all of this is on our website. But James chapter 3, verse 2 says this, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault and what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they're so large and are driven by strong winds, he says, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot or the captain wants to go. Verse 5, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. What I believe James is telling us here is that your tongue impacts your life probably in ways and in levels that you probably don't even understand or imagine. Because, I mean, who would ever think that a small little spark could start a forest fire that could burn thousands of acres, destroy people's homes and things like that. But the tongue can also do the same thing. Now, I believe, of course, he uses it in the negative context a little bit, but I believe in the positive context, our words can help shape our destiny. I believe that, and I've said this every week, but I believe you are the prophet of your own life. In other words, you have the ability, God has given us the ability to be able to speak his word over our lives and to be able to see his word come to pass. And so, a couple of points that we've made earlier in our messages in this series, we said that if you want to change the course of your life, change the words of your mouth. That's in essence what these verses are saying. You know, you can change the direction of a horse by putting pressure on the bit in the horse's mouth. You can change the direction of a ship by turning the rudder. Well, I believe that you can change the course of your life and I can change the course of my life by changing the words that we're saying. And it's important that you understand it's not just, ordinary words per se, but it's words that are in line with God's word and that we speak according to his word. And so in praying about and thinking about what we're going to talk about today, I believe the Lord dropped it in my heart to kind of maybe do a little twist on this, going in maybe the direction that you did not think or would not normally think. And that is one of the most powerful things that you can do in addition to just speaking the word over your life is to incorporate the word and speak words of praise to God. I think a lot of times in the body of Christ, we underestimate the power of praise. We underestimate the power of worship in our lives and what God can do when his people will praise him. And maybe I need to say this right off the bat. God's not on some kind of ego trip where he needs us to pat him on the back and say, attaboy. No, God is a great God. He's sufficient within himself. But the Bible says this, that when we praise him, we build a house, a dwelling place for him to come and sit down and dwell with us. And so literally what you need to think when you're taking time to praise God, like we did just a few moments ago, you're actually building a place for God to be able to come into our midst and visit with us. It'd be like if you had enough property and enough money and you could construct a guest house on your property so that whenever company came, they would have a place to stay and they could be comfortable and you could visit with them anytime that you wanted to. And that's what God wants to do with us. He wants to visit with us. Matter of fact, He wants to make His dwelling, the Old Testament said, in our midst. And so when we praise God, we build Him a house for that. And so I believe the Lord led me to kind of spend some time this morning talking a little bit about praise. Listen, I could talk for weeks about praise and worship, so don't think that this message today is all-inclusive and it contains everything, but we need to understand some basic things about praise and the power of it. So let's start this. Let me, if you want to look at your notes there, so let's just take a few moments. Let's define what is praise. You know, you hear, you know, that we have praise and worship in our church. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to praise God? So let's get into this. Let's look at a couple of definitions here. Write this down. The first type of praise, or the first definition of praise, is the word commend. C-O-M-M-E-N-D, commend. And you might have heard this word in the context of a commendation. You might hear it in the context of we put re on the front of it and say recommend. So how many of you like a good restaurant? For those of you who did not raise your hand, there will be an altar call at the end of service for all liars. No, everybody loves a good restaurant, all right? How many of you, once you go to a good restaurant and you experience great service and great food, you tell somebody about it and you recommend that restaurant to other people? Let me maybe go a little different direction. How many of you like to go to movies? There's nothing wrong with going to movies, y'all. Movies aren't sinful, all right? Okay? I know there's some churches that believe movies are sinful. You can't go bowling either, according to some churches. You know, I don't get all that. But anyway, you know, if you once you see a good movie, like, you know, I'm a nerd. I'm a science fiction nerd. So I like all the Star Wars movies. I like all the Star Trek movies. And so I got a couple of buddies here in the church that are nerds like me. And so we get together and we talk about what's the latest. And man, you really got to go see this. And then all the comic book character movies that they're making now, like, you know, I'm Batman, and Superman, and all of those movies, and Wonder Woman, and all the superheroes that are coming out. We were laughing yesterday because I'm old enough to remember the Super Friends. Anybody remember the Super Friends? Okay, some of y'all are lying again because you don't want to acknowledge how old you are, all right? But when you see a good movie, you go and you tell people about it. You recommend. So when you commend somebody, look at this definition. It means that what you're doing is you think so highly of somebody that you're willing to trust them and to trust yourself to their care, and you recommend that other people do the same thing. See, when I recommend a restaurant to somebody, I have enough confidence in that restaurant that I know they're going to take care of other people that go that I recommend it to. And when we commend God, when we are acknowledging God, we're willing to open up our heart and we're willing to say, God, I trust you with my life. I trust that you are good. I trust that you are a great God. And I trust that you're going to take care of me. And then what we can do is we can tell other people, you know, God, He's a great God. And you can put your confidence in Him. Let's look at a couple of examples from the book of Psalms that David gave us. He said this in Psalm 9:10, "Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." You know, David could boldly say, listen, those who know your name trust in you, for Lord, you've never forsaken anybody. And so David is recommending, but he's commending the Lord. And look at this next one, Psalm 16, verse 1. David wrote this, and he said, "Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge." You know, there's something about trust, and this isn't a message about trust, but I encourage you someday, do some study on trust. What does it mean to trust God? It means that you're willing to let go because you have enough confidence in Him to trust Him with your life. Really, this praise of commendation is what we do when we get God's word and we speak God's word over our lives. When we, you know, maybe in your private time or, you know, just when you're riding in the car, whatever it might be, when you begin to say, God, I just thank you right now because your word says that I'm forgiven. Your word says that, as we sang earlier, I'm clean and holy in your sight. Your word says that I'm healed. Your word says that I'm blessed. Your word says that I'm favored. See, what you're doing is you're commending God for who he is and how great he is. The second type of praise is when we do this, when we express approval or favor for someone. When we express approval or favor for someone. This means that you have a good opinion of someone. I hope you have a good opinion of God. You know, there's some people who don't have a good opinion of God. And listen, there's a maybe some people in the church, in Christendom, that really, because they don't understand God, don't have a good opinion of God. But that's what I love about our church, because what we do is we proclaim how good God is. Because what we're trying to do is influence your opinion about God. We want you to have a good opinion about God. We want you to understand some things about God and that he is on your side, that he's fighting your battles for you, and that you can have a good opinion of him. Somebody says, well, how do I get a good opinion of him? See, when we praise God, when we express approval to him, what we do is we think about what he has done and is doing, now get this, to win your approval. Now, God doesn't need your approval, but he wants you to approve of him. I'm going to say that again. God doesn't need your approval because he's insecure. He wants your approval because he loves you. And he wants you to approve of him. And what he does is he shows up in our lives and he does things. He's given us example after example from the Word of God so that we can look and we can see his pattern of behavior, and it will influence the fact that we approve of him. Let's look at Psalm 23. I doubt any of you have ever heard this psalm before. If you've ever been to a wedding or a funeral or anything like that, you've probably heard Psalm 23. But this is a beautiful example of David writing and expressing approval and favor about God. He says this, Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me, he says. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. I love this. And my cup overflows. See, you need to understand something. God approves and loves you so much that when he starts pouring into your life, he doesn't know the word quit. And what David is saying is, in the picture that he paints in the Hebrew, is that when God is setting the table and he's pouring whatever it is that you're going to drink, he pours into your cup and he's not watching to see that you get the minimum amount. No, he keeps pouring in your cup so that it fills the cup. And not only that, it starts spilling over the edges. And you know what? God's not really concerned about messing up your place setting. And so he lets whatever you're drinking of him to fill your cup run over and just absolutely get in your plate, on your silverware and everything else. And then he's really not concerned about whoever else is sitting at the table with you, that he might mess up grandma's old tablecloth. No, he just keeps on pouring and lets it run all over the table till it runs off of the table onto the floor, because he don't care. He wants to keep pouring into our lives because he doesn't know when to stop. I can show you examples in the Bible where he did stuff for people, and it was only when they said stop that he stopped. Let me remind you of an example. There was a woman where Elijah came and she stayed, and her husband had left a bunch of debt, and they were coming to repossess. Not the house. Her house wasn't getting foreclosed. Her car wasn't getting repossessed. They were coming to repossess the boys. How'd you like somebody to knock on your door and say, we're here to repossess your kids? Some of you'd say, thank you, Jesus. Here, take them. No, I'm just kidding. But Elijah shows up, and she tells him what her predicament is, and he says, okay, here's what you need to do. Go around and get all the containers you can. Every pickle jar, every milk gallon jug, every thermos, every water bottle, everything you got, and keep pouring, and the oil will keep flowing, and it'll keep flowing, and it'll keep flowing. And what I want you to see out of that story is God is not the one that stopped. You know, when the oil stopped is when the woman says, you know what, I can't get no more containers. You know what I would have done? I'd have gotten on my donkey and I'd have gone and found me some more containers. I wouldn't have never said, God, I don't have room for any more. But see, God doesn't know when to quit. And I just got off the subject there, but because I got caught up in Psalm 23. But Psalm 23:6 says, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. See, David expressed his approval to God because he said, you know what, God, you love me so much that everywhere I go, goodness and mercy follow me every day, everywhere. And you need to get it down in your heart that everywhere you walk, you need to look behind you occasionally because goodness and mercy are following you everywhere that you go. And so you can stop and you can say, Lord, I approve of you because you love me and you're so good to me. And he says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know why I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Because I approve of my God. I favor my God. See, God not only wants to pour favor into your life, he wants you to pour some favor into his life as well. Here's the third type of praise, and that is this: when we glorify God. Now that's a churchy word. We hear it a lot. I glorify you, God. And you know, in myself, I have to be careful sometimes that I don't allow words, and I'm talking about just me and my vocabulary with God, that I don't allow words to become cliche. In other words, that they just become so normal and mundane that I lose the meaning of it. And so I love this. When you glorify God, when you glorify someone, what you are actually doing is you're pointing out and acknowledging the good things about that person. Those of you who are married, you know you occasionally need to glorify your spouse. Not just the day you get married and Christmas maybe, but every day. Why don't you glorify your spouse a little bit? Why don't you look at your spouse and say, you know what? I love you because you're a great mother. You're a great wife. You're a great cook. How about looking at your husband and say, you know what? You sure do cut the grass really well. We need to acknowledge the good points of people. And see, in this type of praise, you take a moment and you recognize that God is good. You know, I was in a service the other day, and oh, it was so refreshing because I love being around some old-time people, some people that don't mind getting up in the middle of a service and singing a song a cappella. And it doesn't matter if they're off pitch or rhythm just a little bit. They just want to get up and sing because God has been so good to them. And that's all they can do is just stop and acknowledge His goodness. They stop and acknowledge that even when I wasn't faithful to Him, God was faithful to me. Even when I turned my back on Him, God was right there waiting for me to turn back towards Him. And He was ready to receive from me. And, you know, there's just something about being in the environment where people glorify God. They acknowledge the good points about Him that it causes something to happen. When we declare that God is merciful, that God is forgiving, that God, His character is perfect. The psalm says that He is holy and just in everything that He does. See, when you start acknowledging the good points about God, there's something that rises up within Him. Look at what David wrote in 2 Samuel 22, verse 31. He says, as for God, His way is perfect. You know, there's not one thing about God that's not perfect. Not one. The word of the Lord is proven and established. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. You know, David went on to write another psalm that is probably my favorite psalm, one of them. In Psalm 103, the first five verses of Psalm 103, David just stops for a moment. He said, Lord, I gotta acknowledge you. So matter of fact, he says this in verse 1. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. See, let me break that down for you just a little bit. David had to stop for a moment and command his soul to bless the Lord. And I'm not going to just do it halfway. I'm going to do it with everything within me. Oh, that God's people would learn what it means to praise Him with everything within us. Because see, sometimes you're going to have to realize, you're going to have to stop and tell yourself to praise God. Because there are going to be times when your soul doesn't want to praise God. I'm mad. I'm mad in traffic. I'm mad at my job. I'm just mad. Or I'm gloomy. It's Monday. You know, rainy days and Mondays, they always get me down. No, sometimes you just got to stop and you say, you know what? I don't care how I feel right now. I'm going to do like David said, and I am going to bless the Lord. See, to bless somebody means to declare good things over them. See, what you need to do is you need to stop and open your mouth and say, I don't care how my body feels. I don't care how my soul feels. I'm going to tell my body and my soul what to do, and I am going to praise God, and I am going to do it with everything within me. And then he goes on to say, he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I guarantee you, if I stopped and I asked you, those of you who work full time in here, what are the benefits of your job? Well, I have 2 weeks paid vacation. I have 10 days of sick days that I can take. I also get medical insurance and so forth and so on. You can list all your benefits, but if I were to ask you, what are the benefits of serving God? You're like, wait a minute. Can I get back with you on that? No, you need to understand and know the benefits of what it means to be in a relationship with God more so than you know the benefits of your full-time job. David says, I will not forget any of his benefits. He forgave all of my iniquity. See, we understand forgiveness of sin. Iniquity is a little bit different. See, sin is what you do occasionally. Iniquity is what you have a habit of doing that you hate, you wish you could stop, but you're struggling with it, and you go to God every time and he still forgives you. He says, he forgives me of all my iniquities. And then he went a step further and he said, he heals all of my diseases. He goes on to say, and he redeems my life from destruction. Next slide. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies my mouth with good things. Those of us who are a little older need this verse right here. He satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. See, David didn't mind acknowledging some good points of someone. Being a pastor, every now and then I get asked by folks, and I love doing it, don't mind doing it at all. I get asked every now and then to write a letter of recommendation for people because, you know, people love me and I love them and with people that I know. And so I do that. And so I write letters of recommendation and I'll put, dear so-and-so, whoever it is I need to address the letter to. And then I say, usually, it's with great honor that I'm able to write this letter. And you know what? I don't stop there and then say, sincerely, Brad Mullins, God bless you. Have a great day. And put it in the mail. No, what you have to do when you're writing a letter of recommendation for someone is you have to acknowledge some good things about them. And see, some of us need to stop maybe and get a pad out, a legal pad or a piece of paper and a pen. And why don't you write God a letter of recommendation to somebody? And then when you feel like things are just getting to be a little bit too much, pull out your letter of recommendation that you wrote for God. And why don't you read it and remind yourself of how good He is, how faithful He is, and the good points about Him. That's how you glorify God. See, when you glorify God, when you honor Him for what He has done in your life and what He is going to do in your life and what He is doing for your life, I don't know of any other way to say it. I could spiritualize it, but let me just say it plainly. When you do that, you make room and give Him permission for Him to work in your life. So then, you know, that's some basic things about praise. So then the question stands to reason, then when do I praise? When do I praise? Well, David kind of defined this. I can define it, and I'll give you a scripture for it in just a second. But there's two basic times that you praise the Lord. This isn't in your notes. We'll get to the rest of the notes in just a second. But there's two basic times when you praise the Lord. You ready? Here you go. When you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. I think that pretty much covers it. We could close the Bible, say, praise the Lord, and go home right now, and I have given you a mouthful to last you for a while. See, you praise the Lord when you feel like it. When things are going good, when I'm happy and oh, the birds are singing and the flowers are, and I'm running through like Julie Andrews and the mountains going, the hills are alive with the sound of music and everything is just wonderful. And then you praise God when life sucks. Somebody said, I can't believe he said that. You know why? Because life does suck sometimes. So you praise God when you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. David said this, Psalm 34, verse 1. I'll praise the Lord sometimes. Come on, look at your notes or look at the screen here with me. Follow along. I will praise the Lord at His praise might sometimes be in my mouth. His praise will continually be in my mouth. So when do we praise God? Well, number one, I kind of already said it, but number one is in the good times. You need to praise God in the good times. Sometimes we don't praise God when things are good. You know why? Because things are good. We praise God when the pressure's on, the heat's on sometimes. Because we that have been around church long enough know that when I praise God, it allows God to move, so I need God to move, so I'm going to praise Him. But when things are good and I really don't need God to move right now, because my back's not against the wall, all the bills are paid, I got money in the bank, and time, I got more money than I do month, and things are looking pretty good, then we forget to praise God. David kind of, there was a situation where things were really going good for David. You know, a lot of the Psalms, when you read the Psalms, David wrote a lot of Psalms sometimes when things weren't so good. You know, he would pray or declare in his Psalms about his enemies and what they were doing and all of this type of thing. But then there were some times when David praised God when things were going well. Let me give you a little background and then we'll look at one verse. There's a story towards the end of David's reign and the end of his life where he really had a strong desire to build a temple for God, and it was his lifelong dream. He was sad one day because he said, you know what, it's not fair that I live in this palace and the presence of God is out in a tent, in a tabernacle in Zion. And so he said, I want to build a temple. I want to build a home, a house, a permanent house, a permanent dwelling place for God. And so that was a desire of his heart. And the prophet came to him and said, you know what, David, you're not going to be able to build a house for God. And David, I know that was probably disappointing when he first heard that. But the Lord went on to say through this prophet, he went on to declare, he said, you know what? You don't get to build me a house, but I love you so much and I appreciate you so much that here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to build you a house that's going to last forever. Now, we don't understand what that means because it kind of goes over our heads. What the Lord was saying is, he was kind of declaring something that was going to happen. See, he was going to establish David's house, and David's house was going to go on forever, because what God knew is that down through some 2,000 years after this was declared, there was going to be someone who was born into the earth. His name is Jesus, and he was of the lineage of David. He was going to die on a cross. He was going to be raised from the dead. He was going to ascend into heaven, and then one day he's going to return, and he's going to set foot, and he's going to sit on the very throne that was made for David in Jerusalem. See, God knew all of that. So when he declared that over David and said, your house is going to go on forever, I don't even know that David fully understand that. But David was so overwhelmed. I wanted to build God a house, but God wants to build me a house that's going to last forever. Man, this is awesome. This is the coolest thing I've ever heard. Life is good, y'all. And so he writes down in 1 Chronicles chapter 17 and verse 20. He said, oh Lord, there is none like you. Life is good, God. nor is there anything, any God beside you, anything according to all that we have heard with our ears. God, there's nobody like you. Nobody as good as you. Nobody that's can compare to you. See, life was good for David at that moment. And what did he do? He stopped to acknowledge and to praise God at that moment. Here's the next time when you need to praise God, and that is in the bad times. Because you are going to experience, because we live in this earth, some difficult times. I would be remiss as a pastor if I stood up here and even implied to you that because you give your heart to Christ and you become a child of God, that all of a sudden life is going to be a bed of roses and everything's going to go smoothly for you and everything is going to work out perfectly. That's just not real, nor does the Bible teach that. The Bible teaches that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And so in bad times, we're going to need to learn to praise God. You know, there's two people in the Bible, probably the most classic example of this, were two gentlemen in the New Testament, the book of Acts. Their names were Paul and Silas. Paul the apostle, and Silas was an apostle as well. They had not broken any laws, had not done anything to harm anyone, yet they had been arrested, put in prison, and were beaten. And, you know, I've told you a little bit about this before. There's something you need to understand about Roman jails back in that day. Jails at that time were not like jails today, that some of them are like glorified country clubs, where you're just behind a fence, but you get to watch TV anytime you want to. You need to go outside and play tennis. You can do whatever. And there's minimum and maximum. I know all that. But in these jails, when you were in jail, see, they incorporated the jail in the underground parts of the city where the city sewage ran through the jail at the same time. So when they would arrest you and beat you and put you in chains, they would chain you to the wall. And there were times, and I know of one prison that Paul was in, that literally you were ankle or knee deep in human feces and urine. And this was your aroma that you had to be in while you were being punished, and being punished for something you didn't even do. But it is awesome about this story, because even in the bad time, that they did the one thing that they could do that they know could bring God's presence into the middle of that situation. And oh, I could stop and preach here for a moment, because there's many of us that we may not be in a literal jail, but we're in a jail of our own making, maybe because of our decisions, or maybe because of the way life has happened, and we feel like we are in knee deep in human waste, and just life is not good. If we would learn from the example of Paul and Silas, it says in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, but at midnight. See, some of us that are at midnight in our lives, and midnight is symbolic of, it was a literal time, but it's symbolic of the darkest. It says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. Notice it doesn't say they were moaning and complaining. God, I thought you, when we were in the middle of your will, we didn't experience stuff like this. God, I thought when we became preachers of the gospel that everything went well. We got nice cars, nice homes, and we didn't have to experience stuff like this. No, it says, and at midnight they prayed and sang hymns to God. Now, that doesn't mean they turned to number 672 in the here hymnal and sang, three choruses of A Mighty Fortress. No, what that means is they went and dug up songs from the Old Testament. Maybe they went back and they sang, put to music what David wrote, and all the things that they understood about God and how good He is. And it says that, and they weren't quiet about it, because it says, and the prisoners heard them. They weren't like, hey, we need to whisper because we don't want to disturb any of the other prisoners. No, they were just loud about it. They didn't give a rip what any of the other prisoners thought. There's going to be times when you need to stop in your darkest hour and praise God and not care what anybody else thinks that might be listening to you. And notice what happened. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. I love this story. And immediately, Not just Paul and Silas's door, but all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. See, when you are in your darkest time and you don't have anything else to do or say, but just stop for a moment and say, God, I love you. I praise you because you're good and your mercy endures forever. Thank you, Lord, that you're my deliverer. Thank you, Father, that I might have gotten a bad report, but you're still my healer and I am healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. See, there might be some other people that are listening to you that are in chains along with you, and see, just the power of your praise can enter into their situation, and I don't know, maybe their doors will open and their chains will fall off too, and they'll experience some freedom because they got a hold of what you were saying. See, you got to learn how to praise God in the bad times. Here's the third one. You got to learn how to praise, or learn to praise, in the routine and mundane times. The routine times. See, there's going to be times when life seems routine, where it just seems like you're the hamster on the wheel. You know what I'm saying? You just run and you're never getting anywhere. Just everything is routine. Everything is routine. Everything is routine. And a lot of times it's during these routine times is when we get caught up in the cycle of everything, and that's when we maybe forget that we need to praise God. And I asked the Lord, as I was getting this together, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm struggling here. I can't think of a verse to support this point. And I always like to do that. And the Lord brought a verse up. It's there on your notes that you might not associate with this, but Psalm 118 verse 24 says this. We quote it a lot. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Notice he didn't say, this is an exceptionally good day. This is an exceptionally bad day. He just said, this is today. See, you need, when routine is going on, maybe you just need to get up in the morning and say, you know what? The alarm clock went off again. Here we go again. We're getting ready to go at it again. But Lord, I'm going to stop and I'm going to praise you because today is the day that you have made. And you know what I always try and do is, you know, just be simple. You don't have to be all deep and pontificate and all this kind of stuff. No, just be simple. Lord, thank you that when I woke up this morning, I had air in my lungs. Thank you. First of all, thank you that I woke up this morning. Like the old timers used to say, thank you, Lord, that I wasn't on a cooling board under the winding sheet. Some of y'all don't know what that means. Some of you do. Thank you, Lord, that I could move my legs. Thank you, Lord, that I have sight. Thank you, Lord. I mean, just stop and break the routine and thank God because today is the day. Number four, the best time to praise God is in public and in private. In public and in private. I grew up in a generation, towards the end of a generation, that you know there were three things that you didn't talk about: money, politics, and religion. You know, you just didn't talk about religion because, you know, my relationship with God is personal. And it's something between he and I. And I go to church and I sit there like a bump on the log and we sing our two hymns. The pastor gives a message. He reads 3 points in a poem and we pray and we go home. And that is the extent of my relationship with God. Because God is very personal to me. And I don't find that anywhere in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible. See, a lot of times, and I, I'm not a hard in your face kind of preacher, but I got to make a couple of points here. All right, so buckle your seatbelts. Here we go. All right, it'll be all right. It's like getting ready to get that shot. I'm like the nurse at the doctor's office. You know, I'm trying to entertain you while I'm fixing to poke you real good, okay? But here we go. See, a lot of times we struggle when we come to church with a public praise because we don't prepare in a private praise. See, I love our worship team. I love everything that they do. I love them and appreciate them, but you don't need a worship leader to get you excited about praising the one who died on a cross for you. You don't need a worship team to stand up here and declare how good God is for you and get you excited about praising God when you could have been doing that all along during the week. Now, there is a place for worship leaders in our corporate worship, But the bottom line is, it's not their job to make you feel good enough to tell your daddy how good he is. Somebody tweet that. See, when you talk to your soul like David did, when you talk to your soul all week long, coming in a corporate environment, somebody doesn't have to get your attention and stir you up to worship God. No, you walk in and you're ready. You're like David in Psalm 122 in verse 1. You're like, I can't wait to get in the car because I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord, because I'm going to get to not have to just praise God by myself, but I'm going to get with a bunch of folks who think just like me, who are loud just like me, who love God just like me, and we're going to praise God together. And when I just double dog dare somebody, male or somebody, on this platform to say, will somebody lift your voices to heaven? Because you know what? I've been talking to my soul all week long, and I am ready to do this thing. Instead of just coming in from the parking lot, man, I sure hope they can crank me up this week. Because I've had a bad, oh, hey, how you doing? God bless you. Oh, yeah, I'm in church. I got a smile. I'm happy. I'm happy for Jesus. Because you can't come to church expecting something great in your public praise and worship when you haven't had an individual meeting with God first. See, can I be honest with you for just a second? I've been honest the whole day, but I'm going to be more honest right now. One of the greatest things I struggle with, and I'm almost done, but I got to tell you this. One of the greatest things I struggle with, and I'm just going to be very transparent, is our all-church prayer on Saturday mornings. And the reason being is because I love preaching. I love what I get to do. But for some reason, leading prayer is the one thing that I struggle with and is the hardest thing to do. God had to deal with me about that. You know why I found it difficult to come in here and lead prayer? Because I wasn't doing it enough at home. I'm going to talk to these folks up here because y'all apparently know it. And so I started maybe taking my prayer life at home to a different level. And so coming in here on Saturday mornings ain't as hard as it used to be. Because, you know, there were times when I would have to get in the car and the 7 minutes that it takes me to get here, I was like, oh, Jesus, please help me with prayer. Please help me with prayer. Please help me with prayer. Oh, Jesus, I need you to come and visit with us today in prayer, because Lord knows. And then Jesus finally got my attention one day and he said, well, you know what? It'd be easier if you did this at home. And then when you walked in, you just carried out of there what you did at home. So you got to praise God in public and in private. And then lastly, we praise God directly to God and indirectly to others. See, praise is how you make room for God in your life. Sometimes you praise Him directly, and then sometimes you testify to other people and you praise Him indirectly. See, you got a story to tell. All of us in here that you know Christ, you have a story to tell. And you need to tell some people your story. Psalm 9, verse 1, David said this, I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all the marvelous things you have done. Now, I'm not saying, you know, you don't need to be a nut job and find people that aren't, you know, don't want to hear what you have to say. But I'm, you know, sometimes there are going to be times when the Lord will prompt your heart and he'll say, go tell somebody what I did for you. And you tell them. You know, say, I just got to tell you how good God is. I love this psalm. Next to 103, this is probably my other favorite psalm, Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Now here's why. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Help me make God bigger than He already is. Not because we can make Him bigger, but help me make God bigger in your life and in my life. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He heard me. Y'all need need to know that I sought God and He heard me and delivered me from all, not some, but all of my fears. See, they, like me, looked to Him and were radiant. Their faces were not ashamed. See, some of you need to hear that this poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. See, I don't pretend to stand up here and portray to you that I am perfect in any way, shape, or form, because there are times when I find myself crying out to God because I don't know what else to do. But I want you to hear my story is that this poor man cried out to the Lord and He heard my prayers and He delivered me. See, that's how you praise God directly and you praise God indirectly. Now, as I close this thing, this is my first closing. I'm entitled to three. No, I'm just kidding. I'm wrapping this up right now. The Lord spoke to my heart as I was getting this message together. And the last point I want to tell you is this. Somebody in this room, you need a new praise. You need a new praise. And God, I believe God laid it on my heart because He wants me to pray for you who need a new praise in here. What do I mean by a new praise? See, a new praise is this. Your most effective testimony is about the things that God has done for you this week, today, this morning, or maybe even yesterday, but something recent needs to happen to ignite your praise on the inside of you. See, the Bible all throughout Psalms said this, sing to the Lord a new song. See, a new song is not something you sang a year ago. A new song is not something that you're celebrating that God did for you 50 years ago. No, some of you, God's wanting to do something in your life right now so you'll have a new song, a new praise in your heart. So God wanted me to pray for you. See, just to give you an example real quick, the children of Israel, the moment that they crossed through the Red Sea, they stopped on the other side and they sang a song to the Lord. You know why? Because 2 weeks after that would have been too late. Some of you need God to get you through a Red Sea, maybe. Some of you need God to move for you in your prison so that you can be set free and that bondages can be broken. Some of you need God to do something because you need a new praise. If you need a new praise in here, don't care what anybody around you thinks. Stand up on your feet right now because I want to pray for you. Hallelujah. 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 Just lift your hands. Be ready to receive. Father, in obedience to what You laid on my heart this week as I prepared this message, Father, I pray for these people right now that are standing. Lord, I know that You laid this on my heart, so I'm activating what You have prompted me to do. And Father, I ask You right now to do something great in their lives. I don't know what the need might be. I don't know what the circumstances might be. But God, I am asking You right now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, show up, show out, and do something great in their lives. Fill their mouths with a new praise, God. A fresh praise, Lord. A praise that rises up from within them because their God has done something great for them. Lord, I declare it to be so. I declare victories in Jesus' name. Yes, yes, yes. That's why we were praying that yesterday. Yes, I declare victories, victories, victories right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. I know I'm a couple of minutes over, but I just sense in my heart right now, there, God is going ahead of you right now. And there's some stuff that is changing. There's some rearranging taking place. The Spirit of God is beginning to move just like He did in the book of Genesis when He moved upon the face of the waters. All He was waiting for is a word. Speak God's word. Lord, thank You for the victories. Thank You for the victories. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, we worship you today, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. 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 Hallelujah. I just sense in my heart right now, something already has begun to change. You may not know it, what it is, but you're going to find out soon that something has changed. That God has done something for you. Whatever you do when God does that, don't be silent. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you today, God, because you're good. Your mercies endure forever. Oh, we thank you, Father. We glorify you today, Lord. You're good. You're good, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, everybody sit down real quick. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't want to ever dismiss a service without giving someone an opportunity to receive Christ. If you're here today and you have never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, I want to give you a wonderful opportunity to do that. You need to know God loves you. He cares about you. We've talked about the goodness of God. We've sang about the goodness of God all day long. And you need to know that God loves you. He cares for you. He died for you on a cross in Jesus Christ. And he shed his blood to buy your forgiveness. And you can leave here today knowing that you are right with God, that your sins are forgiven. And if your heart was to stop beating in just a few moments, that you would step over into eternity to spend it with him in heaven. I want you to leave here knowing that beyond a shadow of a doubt today. If you're here today and you have never surrendered your heart to Christ, you've never given him lordship over your life, I want to give you that opportunity. If you're here today and you've done that before, and maybe your heart has grown cold towards him today, I want you to know that he's not mad at you, and there's nothing you can do to separate yourself from his love. He still loves you. And so I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to make you stand up and come down front and hold the microphone and say a bunch of stuff. No, I just want to pray for you and to pray with you. So if you're here today and you need to give your heart to Christ for the first time, or you need to recommit your life to Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity. When I count to three, I want you to shoot your hand up. And by doing that, you're saying, Pastor, pray for me. I want to receive Christ, or I want to recommit my life to the Lord. Here we go. One, two, three. Put your hand up if you need prayer today. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Church, if you believe in what we're doing, let's pray this prayer together. Say it so loud you can hear it with your own ears. Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I believe you died for me. I believe you were raised from the dead. Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me in your blood. Make me clean and holy. I commit my life to you. I place it in your hands. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for giving me a brand new start. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can we celebrate for a moment? Yes. Yes.